Good morning then, and welcome back to Thought for the Day. We're looking today at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 31 and 32. But before we do that, we're going to commit our time to the Lord. We're going to ask for his grace upon us. Let's pray. Loving Father, as we come to your word this morning, we praise you again for your grace to us. We thank you for the way that you show us your love and kindness and your generosity in our lives, Lord, day after day, Lord, though we do not deserve it. And we praise you for this. We ask that you'd speak to us now through your word this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let me read to you then from Matthew chapter 5 and verses 31 and 32. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. So what a sad old world we live in, eh? I say that not because I think there is nothing of value in it, rather because that which is of value is often treated badly and abused without thought. Now, what is of most value in this world? Well, let me suggest that relationships are right up there. If they're not the top thing, which I think probably they are, you can do anything you like in this world, but if you treat cheaply the relationships that make our world a better place, then you know that you're headed for disaster. Now, one of those relationships Jesus deals with here in these verses, verses 31 and 32, and he begins talking about this relationship in the verses beforehand, telling us that faithfulness begins in the heart. The relationship under discussion, of course, is the relationship of marriage. Now, what is marriage? Well, the Bible defines that as the joining of one man to one woman for life. Alan reminded us yesterday that that every good marriage is a picture of Christ and his love for the church in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 22 through to the end of the chapter. Now, we do not have to look too hard in our day to see that marriage is treated cheaply. You can now divorce your husband or wife using an online service for as little as £37. This is the world of no-fault divorce that we have entered. Now, the government has consistently downplayed marriage over successive years, and when asked in the House of Lords whether they would celebrate Marriage Week this year, they buried the idea under a heap of excuses about offending other groups that don't value marriage. It is slightly ironic, isn't it, that you can offend anyone who believes in marriage as the Bible lays it out, but you can't offend anyone else. In essence, we find ourselves in the kind of situation that Jesus speaks into here. Even amongst the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, there are multiple notions on the value of marriage. Eventually, the more liberal gaining the largest followings, of course. And now, marriage had become cheap. Men could divorce their wives for any and every reason. So if you burnt the toast, or if your husband got tired of you, he could give you a paper of divorce and send you on your way. That would mean that many women, in order to survive, would have to marry again. Such was the society that they would often end up destitute otherwise. Well, Jesus here then challenges such a behaviour. He declares that to treat a marriage partner in such a way is to break God's command on adultery. He is making it plain that to treat marriage cheaply is to go against what God has said. And now, it might be in your mind that God is unfair here. After all, surely he would not want people in a loveless marriage. Well, there are all sorts of issues around that statement which should be explored, not least the believing of the Cupid lie, if I can put it in that way. But we don't have time to deal with all that now. Suffice to say that Jesus is again drawing us to look at the heart of the matter. In our hearts, God's standard is one of choosing to love another, and so he is seeking to uphold that. This is demonstrated, of course, in his willingness to go to the cross to be punished for sins that he never committed in order to redeem a people who have absolutely nothing about them that is a redeeming quality. Jesus is saying marriage is about faithfulness and about your fidelity. Now, in your heart, you are to esteem your wife or your husband above all others, to choose to do them good, even when it costs you more than you bargain for. And you find in them nothing appealing. It's not about them in a sense, it's about what you are to do in that marriage. You are to operate under God's standards. Now, automatically, we recognize that we cannot stand up under such a burden. We realize that to live in such a high view of love, love that transcends mere feelings, or transient feelings, I should say, to a realm of concrete, certain, unashamed devotion that will, no matter how hard or difficult, provide, protect, nurture, and even adore the other, we recognize that that is beyond us. Now, this should in turn drive us to our knees, shouldn't it? To seek God's own help in this. It will require confession of our sinfulness to Christ, because, you know, we often fail. We fail in looking lustfully at others. We fail in adoring the one that we are married to in the way that we should. It will require supplication for the strength to endure. It will require the asking of Christ for the compassion and love that he has. It will require a fullness of power that only the Holy Spirit can give us. Hang on, you say. There is an exception in that verse. There's an exception, isn't there? That of adultery of the other party. Now, you are right. But even in this, God has set the pattern. Adulterous Israel were said to have received a divorce from God. You read that in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8. They had broken the covenant between them and God. They had gone after other gods. They had, is described in there as, prostituted themselves to other gods. Yet, though he did not have to, though he was under no compulsion to do so, yet God chose to show grace and to have Israel back. You see, the understanding of love that God has is rather of self-sacrifice for the good of another, not the lame, well, if you don't love me, how can I love you? That is predominant in our world. You see, Jesus is calling us to live like him. And that comes difficult at times, but it's not impossible if we lean upon him and trust him for his strength. I wonder whether you'll do that today. Let's pray. Loving Father, we ask that you would give us all that is necessary, that we might love those around us in the same way that you love us. Lord, we pray, pour into our lives the grace that is necessary. Help us, Holy Spirit, to live with the power that you give in such a situation. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.